Gibson.
Make sure I get everybody's schedule that way. I know who's on and when on and so forth like that. And I know Shane is usually in here, but his family is staying in the radio room. So if he listens, he really, I guess, can't get in there to get on the radio or something like that.
Is Sally awake, are you?
Yeah, but she told me to tell you guys good morning and I keep talking on the radio.
Sally KN4TFW. She might be a keeper, Richard.
Good morning, KN4CEM.
Ruth and Ken, she's definitely a keeper. It's been 11 years now, and I got her trained, so I'm not gonna let her go. I should say she has me trained, I guess.
See how the weather's gonna hold out this weekend.
The forecast, not as much rain as they had said, about half as much.
I guess I can still participate in the VHF contest, or at least try to make some sideband contact. I go to turn my rotor last night, and it just don't work. So I think that's just $100 I pissed down the drain.
Freeze up, or is it just a bad rotor cable connector?
Really don't know. It's the channel master that I found at the ham fest. Paid $100 for it. The box is already messed up, you know, and I ended up having to take it apart, and it had little pieces all broken and falling out of it, even though it was brand new, still in the box, nothing unwrapped. But I went to turn the rotor last night. I had to turn, you know, 360 degrees, and when I went to turn it back last night, it wouldn't move. So I went out there and kind of shook it and pulled on it, and it just wouldn't do anything. So I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm going to check the cables this weekend, but nothing's moved, nothing's changed, so who knows.
Jump out for a minute and get fuel. The gauge says I won't be able to make it back home if I don't.
Yeah, you don't want to definitely get in that parking lot in the afternoon coming home like that blue dye and run out of gas. So, yeah, get your gas there. I'll talk with Andrew there. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'm in as much pain as I was. I just filled mine up. I got my 55 cents off gallons. I paid $4.14 a gallon for diesel. Then that ran out at 20 gallons, so I had to turn the pump off. Turn it back on and do another 5 gallons for like $20-something. It's like $20.25, so I'm feeling the pain this morning.
Now, today is what, Friday? And now, Patrick doesn't hit the road on Fridays, correct?
Correct. He'll jump in here some mornings if he gets up. He's up drinking, moving around in the mornings, I guess.
Hey, Andrew, were you here yesterday when I was telling everybody that sometime maybe in October I'd like to maybe get you and Ken and Patrick and Chandler over here to the house just in the backyard? Maybe we can pull out the grill and just have a good old rag chew session and sit around and chat in the backyard, and maybe I'll get a chance to light my fire pit that my daughter built me like 2 years ago for Father's Day, and I've yet to use it.
To me, the only thing, I don't have any Boy Scout campouts coming in October. Only thing I've got is, I think Halloween weekend, we're going to head down to Myrtle so I can winterize my camper, and my boys will do some trick-or-treating down there for Hallowood, you know, trick-or-treat, whatever it is.
Are you active in Scouts?
Yeah, we had pulled our boys out of school. I think my oldest was in fourth grade and maybe going into fifth, and my youngest was one in the second. We ended up pulling him out. And one thing that I wanted to do was make sure they still got socialized. So we put them in Boy Scouts, and they've been there ever since. So.
Hey, I wish I would have stayed more active in it. I was in Scouts, and it was either Star or Life. I'd have to check my records and see which one that I got. I wanted to finish my Eagle, but when I got back to the States, I had more of a passion for flying, and I got involved in Civil Air Patrol, and I did that and never went toward my Eagle, which I wish I could kick myself now for not doing that.
I don't know if growing up I realized there were Scouts or my parents never offered it to me. I don't know. I mean, you know, me and my family, we go camping and my dad would go camping, but I never did anything like Boy Scouts. And now, I mean, I get to see what my kids do, and I wish I would have done it because, man, they do all kinds of stuff from skiing. My oldest went up to North Carolina and went caving, and, man, they've done all kinds of stuff.
JCA for ID. Well, you know, they've added so much to merit badging and stuff like that that it's just grown tremendously. And my dad and our family used to do a lot of camping, and that's what got my dad involved kind of in Scouts. He used to make some little chuck wagon boxes that you sit down and you can... you know, he would help us cook, and we'd do the foil packages of food and all that.
I know about all that, and that's been a nice thing. I've learned a lot of stuff in Scouts in my older years. You know, I'd never used a Dutch oven until we got in Scouts. I went on one camping trip before I was ever assistant Scoutmaster, and but some guy he cooked biscuits in a Dutch oven, and I was just amazed by that somebody could take biscuits and cook them in a Dutch oven. So we had, like, you know, biscuits and bacon and eggs and stuff like that. I'm like, this is fantastic right here.
Was back yet? The pump and the price of gas might have give him sticker shock there. But I love the old Dutch ovens and having to cook on an open fire, and like I said, them hobo packs with foil, hamburger potatoes, carrots, just tossed on the coals. And like I said, my dad used to take one of those flat iron griddles and lay across the coals and make pancakes. And you know, we'd have either chocolate chip pancakes, or they would take the cocoa powder from the instant cocoa and mix that with the pancake batter and have chocolate pancakes.
GFW, I'm back. 304 CEF.
Met me for 8.1 gallons, $27. 0.9 miles per gallon.
I told you how much I paid this morning.
Talking about the price, you got your 20 gallons and then it took, what, another 20?
20 that it gave me at a discount, and then I had to turn it off, turn it back on. I think I ended up pumping like 6 more gallons on top of that. I was at $4.69 a gallon. 10 in gas in diesel fuel this morning.
With Sally working at home now, that saves on gas for us.
My wife, she stays home with the boys. And she don't put a lot of miles, which I have a lease car from work. And I was finding out yesterday, we're not trading them in until like 40,000 miles, which is high. We used to not do that. And I told my vehicle admin rep, I said, it's going to be 3 years before I trade that car in. My car to work, so I just don't do it.
That's because she doesn't have a good antenna.
You are absolutely right. If I could put the antenna on it, to worry about it and just drive down the road like normal, then I would not mind so much. But putting it on there in the morning and then taking it off whenever I get off the exit, and when I leave work, I don't get the warm and fuzzy about putting it back on the car, because then everybody can see it. You know, who knows? Might turn me in for having an antenna on top of the lease car.
Stick it upside down on the inside of the car onto the ceiling, or I'd stick it on the floorboard and let it stand up, or even set it in the seat. I bet you'd do all right.
In the back, I mean, it works. The car tends to block a lot of the signal, though. You don't get quite as good a signal.
No. Like with the bow thing that I used to have, they used to have a little glass mount that you roll the back window down and you put like a little, it's like a little rubber duck antenna, but it got the antenna outside the car, and it just roll the window down for a second, and it, you put it on the glass, and then go about that. KA3JCN.
Those, they're not quite as good because there's no kind of ground plane. So the mag mount it works tremendously better compared to the other one. And it sucks to have to go away from it. But for the morning and swap to the other one on the way home.
On each car, right?
Tried to figure out a way to sneak it up into the exterior A-pillar trim, and I'm sure I could do it if I did it right, but I don't really have anywhere to mount the magnet at that point.
Like a lip mount for like either the trunk or like the hood.
Oh no, I think they kind of frown on that one. After cars, like you can't even put magnetic stickers or anything on them.
Yeah. I guess they're afraid they'll scratch the paint and bring down the value of the car.
Do in the morning, and then I might try that rubber ducky thing again maybe in the afternoon, because technically at that point I'm not attached to the car.
If you took your magnetic mount and then just bent the antenna wire, the whip, on a 90 and stuck it onto your license plate.
I wonder how that would affect the signal if you took the antenna wire and bent it.
It all the time on 11 meters.
In fact, that as long as you, you're talking about just bending the whip itself, attach the magnet to your plate, or even better yet, if you have a tow hitch on the back, just put it on the metal tow hitch and let it stand up there behind the trunk.
So I have a tow hitch. I hadn't thought about the license plate. Yeah, as long as it didn't block it, it might actually work.
Flying antennas, I used to take and make a little quarter wave out of a metal coat hanger, and I used to buy my connectors and take them and solder them in and then fill the rest in with like epoxy and so forth like that. But yeah, you could bend that any way you want to.
And that kind of makes me think that the A-pillar idea might not have been bad, because the hood is not magnetic. But the fenders and stuff are, so I might look at that one again. But I don't know. I still like driving my truck, but I'd love an option where I didn't take an antenna on and off all the time.
Who is when Eric's on here? I think he said he's an engineer. If Eric comes on next week, bring that subject back up to him. KA3JC in the group.
Interesting problem to try to solve. I hadn't done it yet. Like I said, I just put it on in the mornings on the way to work if I drive the car, and then as soon as I get off at the exit, I snatch it off the top of the car.
Old retractable AM/FM antenna radios that when you start your car, your FM antenna would come out of the fender. I bet you could modify that and tune it so that it would work good in 2 meters.
I mean, I wouldn't see any reason why you couldn't take that antenna and turn it into something that would work. Well, I don't know what the motor and stuff like that is that drives that thing up and down, but... Well, gentlemen, I am here in the parking lot, so it is unfortunately that time for me. And I have to work late today, so I probably won't be back on the radio till, you know, 5:40, something like that. Who knows what time we'll get off today. But anyway, y'all gentlemen have a good one. Ken, be safe on the road this morning. And hopefully we will holler at y'all again on the radio soon. So, KO4CEF, and I'll be clear on y'all's phone.
Have an awesome day. KN4TFW.
73KA3JCA.
What is the day, Richard?
Not here. When Sally gets up at 7, I'm going to go make her some buttermilk flaky biscuits. I get out my little egg rings. Put in a couple of eggs there and make her a couple of egg biscuits.
That's pretty good. All I got right now is a punk spice cinnamon roll and a yogurt.
Sally's not a big, like, peppers and onions or mushrooms or stuff like that fan. So I've been buying these little scramblers from the grocery store. A little expensive, but I don't have to get up and cut up the peppers or the onions or the potatoes, and then you just add a couple of eggs to it and have that for breakfast. I think they're called egg scramblers or something like that, or crack an egg. So, drink a little bit of orange juice in the morning, have some eggs, and then a glass of milk, and that usually ties me over till lunchtime. Keeps my blood sugar just where it needs to be.
I used to do that myself, except I'd just get me a glass bowl, and I'd throw me some, you know, diced up peppers and onions in there, and a little bit of hash browns, and then I'd throw an egg in there that I didn't crack. Carry it to work and then crack it and then stir it up and throw it in the microwave. It was just as good. That way I didn't have to buy them high dollar ones from the store.
Yeah. They got different ones. They have a Southwestern that has chorizo and stuff in it. They have a Denver one that has ham. They have one that's just veggies. There's like four or five different ones. And what I need to do is, like I said, it'd be cheaper for me to buy the ham and onion and the bell peppers, and I think one even has some jalapenos in it, but just go ahead and dice up some and put them in a container, and then you try to divvy it up between 5 days, and then all, like you said, just add the egg when you're ready to microwave it.
It's cheaper that way.
The price of groceries and everything, I know what you mean. Did you get around to getting your code plug loaded for Hendersonville or the North Carolina stuff?
I went home, we ate, and then I took the dog for a walk, and then it wasn't raining or anything. It was pretty clear, so I managed to get all the grass cut, and that way I would, because, man, I'd be bush hogging it after all this rain this weekend, because I wouldn't be able to cut it, so I got all that done, so it didn't be tonight or in the morning. But now yesterday afternoon when I was walking the dog, I got on that Spartanburg Amateur Radio Club repeater. I think it's, 7.315 or something, and there was a little bit of activity there.
But, like I said, I think with the new plug I sent you, I added some more VHF stuff. For you, I added that one that you told me about that Patrick gets on and tries. So I added that, and I think there was a couple more that I've added. A lot of the stuff I really, from where I live inside the house, I can't hit it unless I have an outside antenna. And what I'm thinking about doing is, I have the one for the mobile unit that's sitting on the table. I'm thinking about, somewhere I have a piece of flat metal that I had bought and had it bent and so that I could put it out the window here and then just close the window seal and go that way where just it's like maybe 5 feet off the ground and just a little half-wave mag mount sitting out there out the window, and that seemed to do pretty good, at least for Spartanburg. I can't remember how it did for 610.
Yeah, that repeater for the amateur radio club, they have a net on Monday night and Friday night at 8:30. You wanted to check into that net.
I've checked into it. I actually at one time was a member of that club about 3-4 years ago when I was driving and I was a lot healthier.
Hey, I meant to tell you, if you go over to the restaurant where Susan works, that Stacks, and if you go on the weekend, they're going to be pretty busy and on a wait. But if you get on the app for Yelp, and it'll let you check in early. And then when you get there, tell them you checked in on Yelp, and then you go to the head of the line.
Thanks. I'll let Sally know. I don't know. Her and her mom, they usually go out to eat on Saturdays. So they either go to, it's not called the Fisherman one, Sally? What's it called? No, what was that fish place? The Harbor Inn. Okay, I have to stop and think. It's the Harbor Inn over there off of Haywood Road. And they go to where they go up here to Logan's and stuff like that up off of Pelham. I forget, it's Beacon Drive or something like that. There's a few restaurants in there. And then they like the Eggs Up Grill and a few other places. KA3JCA Freddy.
NTFW, roger on that one. Hey, and another little trick Susan told me, you know, the restaurants are adding on a credit card fee, you know, service fee. And the way you get around that is to tell the cashier you want to pay some in cash and some on your card. And she'll have to take the cash first. And when she does that, it'll do away with the credit card fee.
Out of that. And, you know, I know I've stopped eating at places that do want to do the automatic gratuity. Especially like when I go out, we go out and it's like Sally, me, and Ashley. There's three. And then if her mom and her sister and her brother come, that's six. Well, a lot of places want to start adding gratuity for tables of six or more. But we had an incident not long ago where Sally took her mom, or her mom took Sally out to eat. And her mom is on disability only and very, very limited income. They didn't order a lot, but she left a $5 tip. And I'll be darned if the waitress didn't turn around and add $10 more to the bill. I complained, and thank God, Sally, I don't know what made her or possessed her to take a copy of the receipt that they laid on the table, but she took a photograph of it. Something just told her. But I called the store, talked to the manager. They looked into it, and they were going to credit the $10 back. And he told me to give it like 4 or 5 days. It's amazing how with electronics, they can take your money right off the card, like instantly, but it takes 5 to 7 days, business days at that, to get back on your card, which is stupid. But so we gave it 2 weeks and still wasn't there, and he was looking up it again, and he said, oh, it should be there like in another day or two. And I said, okay. And Sally actually waited another whole week, and it wasn't. So we called, and I guess I got the district manager, and he said that if you can come by the store today, he said, I'll give Sally her money back or whatever. I went over there thinking they were just going to give the extra $10 back. Well, he gave her the whole price of the bill back.
It was worth the wait. And I know, and see, like, if they like breakfast, I mean, they have a lot of breakfast items over there. Not the cheapest place to eat, but they'll have, like, lunches and all kinds of stuff like that.
In you, and, I mean, it'll be, like you said, the price is a little expensive, but if it's good quality food, I don't mind paying for that little extra price, especially if the price and the serving size is a decent, too. What I'm worried is going to happen, I don't know if you saw the news, but apparently out west, I guess in California or someplace, but they're apparently in January they're going to raise the minimum wage to $22 an hour, supposedly effective in January. So I can see like all these places having to adjust the prices of their products just to compensate so they can pay their employees, or either they're going to do away with some of their workload and people will just have to wait longer.
Getting up some kind of committee and everything and that. If they did that, I'd just close my restaurant and move to a different town. That's for sure.
Apparently this was statewide out west. So, but bottom line, it's one of those endless cycles. Yeah, the government can try to raise the minimum wage, which, don't get me wrong, I mean, with the price of inflation, and I think it's about due, but at the same time, the business owner has got to, not only, he's got to make a profit to pay for his overhead and his business. If not, it's just not even worth having a business.
It wasn't a statewide minimum wage. It was a fast food workers committee minimum wage made up of employees and restaurant owners and everything. And it's, you know, it's the people that can't even get your order right at the drive-thru that want $22 an hour for nothing.
I thought it was statewide. Okay. Yeah, it's just like I know, too, when I was working for the YMCA, and I used to have to hire lifeguards annually for the season. And in Florida, you could pretty much swim year-round, but there was times, a couple times, that it was 30 degrees outside and you couldn't swim. But other than that, we used to have lifeguards that wanted to get paid 18, 20 bucks an hour just to sit there. And they couldn't even do their job right. I had one employee that I noticed was drinking an excessive amount of water. When I say excessive, I mean it was like the whole time just sitting there drinking nonstop out of the bottle. Come to find out, she had liquor in the bottle.
All right.
Hey, I did have a married woman that was a true, true country girl that applied to be a lifeguard. And during the interview, she come dressed very professionally, and she came right out and told me, I didn't even ask the question, but she said, yeah, I had to borrow this outfit for the interview. She said, I'm kind of a down-home country girl, you know, like them Farmer John pants and a what's the girl on Dukes of Hazzard? Tie the shirt and so forth and the hot shorts.
You're talking about?
Yeah. I've seen my share. And then, of course, when I was in the military, Ken, I used to have to counsel airmen that were bouncing checks. And their belief, because it wasn't taught in the schools, was, well, I thought I had plenty of money in the bank because I had checks left over.
Need to teach stuff like that in school because so many people just can't manage anything. You know, it's ridiculous these days. But I have made it to the parking lot, so I'm gonna have to say I enjoyed the conversation this morning. And you and Miss Sally have an awesome day, and I'll try to catch up with you later. KN4 TFW.
Yeah. Sally said bye. All right, we'll talk to you this afternoon, 73 KA3JCA.